You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tomorrow, we will be premiering our next 30 for 30 film. It's called Al Davis versus the NFL, with a look at one of the great rivalries in the history of the sport, the former Raider owner, the legend, against the former NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle. They clashed for three decades. It looks terrific. It's tomorrow night. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN, and you can watch it on the ESPN app, and those are the places you can find us every single morning as well. I'm Greeny. Welcome back to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live every morning from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are counting down the days to the Super Bowl, and we are very busy on this Wednesday morning. Let's go. It's time to get up with Tampa Bay. The Bucs won three on the road. Now they're back for the Super Bowl. What does their home field advantage actually mean? Then, Mr. Mahomes. He's as good as it gets, but is his team asking too much of even him to get a win on Sunday? And in this hour, Chase Young will join us live with what he learned from tugging on Superman's cape and who he expects to win the Super Bowl. Those are on the way. It's time to get up. Starting right now with the information, Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up through some news and notes, beginning with the COVID impact. What do we have?
Yeah, no news yesterday, which is good news. The two players that the Chiefs put on the COVID-19 list this week, backup center Daniel Kilgore and wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, identified as high-risk close contacts, which means they have to stay away for 5 days. But assuming they continue to test negative every single day, they should be able to return in time to play in the game on Sunday. Wide receiver Sammy Watkins is a Chiefs player we're watching closely. He's been dealing with a calf injury throughout this postseason. He has expressed optimism, and so has the team, that he will be able to play in the game Sunday. They start really practicing in earnest for the game today, so the first official injury report of the week will come out later today. We'll see what Watkins has been able to do in practice. If anything, it'll give us some sense of where he is in relation to being able to play in the Super Bowl Sunday. Before the AFC Championship game, the injury we were watching was to Patrick Mahomes. Not only was he coming out of concussion protocol, he was dealing with turf toe. It factored in a little bit in the AFC Championship game. Obviously didn't cost them anything. He said yesterday the toe's feeling much better, that the 2 weeks of rest in between the conference championship and the Super Bowl should be beneficial, and that the toe is close to 100%. Wouldn't expect it to be a major deal going into Sunday.
Okay, so the news on all those fronts, generally speaking, is good, and we have a chance, I think, for a classic here with the two legendary quarterbacks going head-to-head. But, RC, you made a very interesting point as we were talking this morning. If you just take the offenses and the defenses, there are 44 players who will start in the Super Bowl between those units. Of those, if you were just choosing from one side or the other, how many Chiefs out of those 44 would you take?
Listen, you take five of them to build your starting five. They think you take the corners from Tampa Bay. Even with what the game looked like last time, you take Carlton Davis, you take Murphy Bunting at safety. Obviously, you're gonna take Tyrann Mathieu, and then Thornhill is gonna be a toss up between Winfield and Whitehead on the back end. You take the entire, at least in playing in this game, you're gonna take the Tampa Bay offensive line. You're gonna take the Tampa Bay Bucks up front, right? You're gonna get JPP. Maybe you throw Frank Clark in there, but there's gonna be Shaq Barrett. You will have Chris Jones at the linebacker position. It's going to be Devin White and Levante David. And so when you start to look at this team and you're going person for person, you know, tit for tat, you say to yourself, okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a better roster. So why do we feel the Kansas City Chiefs should win? Why did the Kansas City Chiefs win week 12? And I think it comes down to the fact that even though there's only five of them, it's top heavy. And when I say it's top heavy, it's heavy with number 15. It's heavy with Patrick Mahomes. So at some point, and I know we give him his respect, I know we say great things about him, we have to start kind of talking about the obstacles that this Super Bowl presents. The Super Bowl presents playing against the GOAT. The Super Bowl presents playing against a team with a better roster than yours, playing against a team that's defense has played better than yours, that has turned the football over. And so if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you can't go into this game thinking, okay, we got it last year, or we've been rolling this year in the playoffs. This is going to be an extremely tough game, and I think a lot of it rests on the shoulders of number 15.
But it's fascinating. And Dominique, if we look at it this way, the five players that we had said earlier you would definitively take from Kansas City are Hill and Jones, Matthew, Kelsey, and of course, Patrick Mahomes. In a basketball game, you would just, the ones with the better players, they're going to wind up winning. Is it that way in football? Because the Buccaneers are not the favorite here.
Yeah, I don't think it's that way in football, and it's not. Ryan's right, but it's not as if the guys who are on the Chiefs team are just garbage. Like, I think the difference is those guys are good. They aren't as good as some of the guys on the other side, but they have a level of comfort and understanding of the offense that you don't necessarily have on the other side. And I think the top-heavy point is the most important point. Like, Ryan's right. We need to start really appreciating and understanding how impressive the things that Mahomes has done. But he has to stop making it look so easy if he wants us to be impressed. So I'm sticking with Mahomes because I don't know how to describe what he's doing. And I can't quite put it into words. I think mellifluous might be the word that comes to mind to describe how comfortable he looks in the pocket and how impressive he operates that offense. That's all.
In our continuing effort to be multisyllabic on this day, I appreciate that thought. But let me come back to you, because I said this in the tease. With his entire offensive line out, both his starting tackles out, and all the different advantages that RC just named, I mean, even for Patrick Mahomes, are they asking too much of him? Are we asking that much of one player in the biggest game of the year? Neek.
No. Did you watch the playoffs last year? Did you watch them come back from behind in three straight games? Like, that's the point. It's hard to ask too much of Patrick Mahomes because it seems like he always answers the bell. And we had this conversation last week. No one can think of a time in a really big game where Patrick Mahomes has not come through. And that's not much to hang your hat on. Like, it's not great analysis, but it's like, look at that guy. I trust him because he's never failed me. He's never let us down.
So, Graziano, amongst those of us who will chronicle this, is it safe to say there's more pressure on Mahomes to be great in this game than there is on even the legendary Tom Brady?
I think there is. I think the NFC Championship game showed us that the Bucs can win even if Brady isn't great. Look, he was great in the first half of that game, but then he threw three interceptions in the second half. They're still able to hold it off. Like, they have a lot of different ways they can win. And the fact that those tackles aren't playing for Kansas City could be the thing, if it's a close matchup, that could swing it in the Bucs' favor. I mentioned this the last hour. I think I'm going to take the Bucs when I make a prediction here, because what's the expression? Is it no chances, no blintzes, no heartbreak, no pancake?
There's
a breakfast-related issue regarding risk and reward that I'm trying to... No fun, no sticky bun. Is that what it is? I can't come up with it. We'll get it by the end of the show.
He's got the lead of his piece as we do our Super Bowl preview here. It's going to be fascinating. And if Mahomes wins this one, it becomes the stuff of legend. Meanwhile, let's go on the clock here. Rob Ninkovich is with us this morning as well. 30 seconds as we go to some topics around the sport. Ninko, I'm starting with you. Did the Rams make the right move trading Jared Goff and two first-round picks for Matthew Stafford? 30 seconds. What'd you think, Ninko? Go.
Yes, I think that they made the correct decision there. And let me give you some perspective. I have a 7-year-old little girl, and this summer she said, "Daddy, I want to ride my bike without training wheels." I said, "Okay." So I took the training wheels off, and by the end of the summer, I was sick of running next to that bike because I was so worried that she was going to fall and hurt herself. Similar to the Rams, they were sick of running next to that bike. Jared Goff was the kid on the bike with no training wheels. And if you let go of the bike, he was going to crash. So... they were ready to win now. So they went out. They got Matt Stafford.
Girl?
That is. But the analogy is a good one.
Let me finish my. Let me. I have 30 seconds. Let me finish. So the Rams went out. The Rams went out. They got their guy. They got a quarterback.
They're running next to the tricycle.
He only got 28 seconds out of his 30 seconds. I don't want to shortchange Ninko, but I get the analogy, and it's a fascinating way of looking at it. That's a guy that was the number one pick in the draft, who you paid $110 guaranteed million dollars to, and you're running alongside the bike to make sure he doesn't fall down. Okay, RC is next.
That's funny as hell.
What do the Packers need to do to get Aaron Rodgers to a Super Bowl next year? 30 seconds, go.
Who's that for?
Listen, I think what you need to do is, it's for me. It's for me. You have to find a way to get over the hump. You look at this team, 26-6 in the last 2 years. They're in the NFC Championship the last 2 years. You're plays away. You have to figure out what it is that gets you to the top. And we talked so much about the first round pick last year and the fact that Jordan Love couldn't help. But we didn't speak about any of that during the season. During the season, Aaron Rodgers is so good. How great of a relationship does he have with Matt LaFleur? Look at this defense coming along. And now the sky is falling because they didn't win the NFC Championship. Find a way to do it with the guys on the team.
Yeah, they've won 26 games and two playoff games the last 2 years, so they're pretty close. All right, one more. Dominique, how many more years will Dak Prescott play in Dallas? Zero, one, or more than that? 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, I think the answer is more than that, because as much as I might be pushing for Dak Prescott to exercise his strength, and maybe some of his brother also is pushing that way, it doesn't seem like Dak Prescott has shown a desire to get out of town, and it seems like he appreciates and wants to stay there. So I assume that at some point they're going to give him that big contract, they're going to give him that sticky bun, and he's going to continue to have fun. So I think that's the plan for Dak Prescott. I don't know why they haven't figured it out yet, but that's what he's going to do.
He's going to make as much money as any player in the sport over the next 5 years, and that includes Patrick Mahomes. All right, quick break. So much more football as this conversation continues. Up next, we have a top 10 list on Patrick Mahomes with numbers you are simply not going to believe. That's on the way. Plus, Chase Young is going to join us. Had a dominant season, learned a lesson about why Tom Brady is the GOAT. Don't miss The Predator live on Get Up next on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up. Let's get up and go through some of the night's sports headlines, and they include Fred VanVleet setting a Raptors franchise record and a record for undrafted players. He had 54 points in Toronto's 15-point win over Orlando last night. He scored nearly half of Toronto's points in that victory. In other news, after last making a college football video game back in 2013, EA Sports announced it will be relaunching its popular college football game. Daryl Holt, who is a vice president and GM at EA, confirmed that decision to ESPN. College hoops last night. Second-ranked Baylor pulling away late and knocking off number 6 Texas, 83-69. Davion Mitchell's had 27 points. The Bears remain unbeaten on the season. They've won every game by at least 8 points. And in other news, the Angels have suspended pitching coach Mickey Callaway in the wake of a report by The Athletic in which 5 women accused Callaway of lewd behavior. Major League Baseball and the Angels are hoping to wrap up an investigation relatively soon, perhaps before the start of spring training. That is according to a source to ESPN. Meanwhile, tomorrow night we premiere our next 30 for 30 film, Al Davis versus the NFL, with a look at one of the great rivalries the sport has ever seen between the former Raiders owner and the former NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle. They clashed for 3 decades. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, as we continue here, it's time for a little sneaky hembo, and we will make a run at this for Graziano. Which quarterback threw for the fewest yards in a Super Bowl win? It's a tough question. The answer is next. Graziano, can't read the face. We'll see what he thinks. We'll find out next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and I would describe this one as tough but fair. Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. Which starting quarterback threw for the fewest yards in a Super Bowl win, Dan?
See, he doesn't know. This is a good week for me. I'm pretty good on Super Bowl trivia. I'm very good on Dolphins trivia because my career started in South Florida when I was doing Dolphins and Marlins stuff for the Palm Beach Post. We can get that. And Bob Greasy only threw like 6 passes in Super Bowl VIII against the Vikings, which they won with defense and a run game. It was the second year in a row the Dolphins won. It was after the undefeated season. Bob Greasy, I think it was like 78 yards, 78?
73 yards is the answer, and that is correct.
73,
even
that's right.
With the mask on, you can see the horror on the face of Hembo. Graziano takes the lead on the season. 73 yards for Bob Greasy in Super Bowl VIII. Hembo doesn't know what just hit him. That is remarkable. I can't even fathom what the questions might start being tomorrow. Okay, back to the Super Bowl and all the matters around it. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski at Media Day the other day all said the right things, the things you would expect about Bill Belichick, but the same certainly could not be said of their former teammate Danny Amendola. Remember this.
When you see Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
Now that got a lot of reaction because there's a lot of ways to take it. We had Jeff Saturday here on Get Up yesterday. Here's how he reacted.
Danny Amendola is high. Put that up there, bro. Are you kidding me? I love Tom Brady. I think what he's done has been absolutely remarkable. Give the coach some credit, man. It is an and conversation, not an or. They were as successful as they were because they worked together. Danny Amendola, I don't know what got into him, but he is straight up high. I don't know if he's in California, Colorado. I'm not sure what other states is legal, but he's in one of them states right now. I'm just letting y'all know.
Straight up high is just a funny thing for Jeff Saturday to say, but the issue is not necessarily funny. But we have a longtime Patriot here. You played, of course, for Bill Belichick, and you played Rob Ninkovich with Danny Amendola. What was your reaction to what he said?
Like I talked to DA yesterday, and we had a little chat about this discussion here, and he was, you know, Danny flies by the seat of his pants sometimes. He just kind of goes with things. And in this interview in particular, he said some things that, look, I mean, we all know that Bill, the way he coaches, is the Patriot way. And he is so consistent in the way that he builds his roster out. But Tom, for the last 20 years, has been the example that everyone looks at as far as how do you conduct yourself? How do you go to work every day? Your consistency, your durability, all those things. Basically built together from Bill and Tom together. Bill is the greatest coach that I've ever been around. He's the smartest guy. He puts in all the work and the time to get you prepared to play at a high level so you don't have to think. And Tom, we all know Tom is the greatest quarterback of all time. So them working together is why there was so many years of success in New England. And I understand that Danny is the player, and he's coming from the player side of things as, look, we catch these balls and we're making these tackles. But at the end of the day, it was both those guys together that
go ahead,
created
RC.
Something
I'm
special.
Running, I have just a moment here. Go ahead, RC, go.
Okay, here we go, here we go. We work with Nico every Friday. It's taken until the Super Bowl for Nico to say something really nice about Bill Belichick, and that's only because the discussion came up. But do you know who Nico talks great about, speaks highly of, never goes against, ever in life? Tom Brady. So Nico could sit up here, and you know what? And he's not going to be high like Amendola, and he's going to say Bill was great too. But every week, Nico sings Tom Brady's praises the same way that Danny Amendola did. And I'm not going to put words in Nico's mouth because Nico's on the show. I'm going to tell you what I get from it. Tom Brady was the one they followed. Tom Brady was the person they connected to. And it happens because you're in the locker room, because you're going through the same things, because you're dealing with the same tyranny. You know what? When I come on this show with Dom, I talk about Dom. I'm happy to be with Dom. I don't talk about Pete. Do I love Pete? Yes. Pete's kind of a curmudgeon. Pete makes the meetings a little uncomfortable in the morning. So when I talk about Culture Wednesday, I'm like, yes, I love Dom because Dom goes through the same tyranny we all go through at 5 a.m. in the morning with Pete when he decides to click in and say his one thing that changes the whole show.
Okay, Pete, Pete McConville, our coordinating producer. Okay, I have to take a break here. We got things a little messed up with one guest that didn't make it here, but we have a ton still to come today, including more on that topic, Mahomes numbers you won't believe, and other things on the way next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The job's not finished. When we went into the season, we weren't talking about going to the Super Bowl. We were talking about winning it again.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best. It's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
All right, you know he's good. Now I'm going to tell you just how good. Last week, we presented a list of things that would blow your mind about Tom Brady. Well, today, in the interest of equal time, and because the numbers are equally impossible to believe, here comes Patrick Mahomes' personal top 10. Number 10, he has already won 6 playoff games as a Chief. They won 4 in their 48 years before he got there. Number 9, in his first 7 playoff starts, Mahomes has produced 21 touchdowns. Tom Brady produced 9 in his first 7. Number 8, Mahomes averages over 31 points in games that he loses. That is more than Brady's teams have averaged in games that he wins. Number 7, over the last 2 years, Mahomes is 8-1 in games that he trails by 2 scores. That's 88%. All other quarterbacks average 12%. Number 6, Mahomes has never lost an NFL start by more than 1 score. The longest such streak in the sport since at least 1950. The last team to beat him by more than 8 points was Iowa State in 2016. Number 5, Andy Reid's teams scored 30 points in just 4 of his 24 playoff games without Patrick. With him, they've scored 30 in 6 out of 7. The only one he didn't, Mahomes got knocked out in the third quarter. Number 4, Mahomes could have an MVP and 2 titles at the age of 25 if he wins on Sunday. There's only one NFL player ever to do that. It's Emmitt Smith. Number 3, Mahomes averages 308 passing yards per game for his career. No one ever is within 25 yards of that. Number 2, Mahomes has started 3 conference championship games. He's had 3 touchdowns and 0 picks in all 3. No one else has more than 1. And finally, number 1, a reminder of just how young he is. Patrick Mahomes was born the year the movie The Usual Suspects came out and the year Coolio released the song Gangsta's Paradise. Those are the top 10 things you need to know about Patrick Mahomes getting set for this Super Bowl. Ryan Clark, your reaction.
Listen, my reaction is this, man, and you know, you overreact a little bit, Greeny, and I've been around you a long time. You my dog, you my friend, so I'm just going to do a little bit of it too, I guess. If Patrick Mahomes wins this Super Bowl with some of the things we've detailed about this game, some of the things that are going against him right now,
Patrick Mahomes is in the greatest of all time. It's going to be Tom Brady, and then there's going to be some people next on the list, and it's going to be guys like Joe Montana and John Elway that's going to be included in that, and Patrick Mahomes should be there. And I know people who love Breeze and who love Aaron Rodgers are going to say, but they played longer, they did more, but they are not as great as Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes wins this Super Bowl, has the Lombardi in his hand, and on the microphone goes, you know what? This is it. I'm walking out. If he drops the mic, if he sexual chocolates off of the stage, guess what? Patrick Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame. That's how impressive this three-year run has been. That's how much he has accomplished. That's how dominant the Kansas City Chiefs have been with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback. Remember, guys, there was no maturation process. There was no need for growth. From the time we watched him take a snap for the Kansas City Chiefs, he was the best quarterback in football, and that has not changed. If he wins this, it's not going to be a discussion of if he can be an all-time great. He is right now an all-time great.
I like it. Dominique Foxworth, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, the boy is good. The boy is good to continue with Coming to America references. And yeah, he would be, he's fantastic at everything. That first start in 2018, he threw for 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. That was his introduction to the NFL world. 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He is outstanding, and there's nothing that we figured out that he can't do well. He does everything exceptionally well against the blitz, against pressure. He's better than most everyone else. He runs the ball well. He's accurate. He throws on and off platform. The man is adroit at every possible thing that you would need to be to play the quarterback position. And I think, again, back to Coming to America, he probably would have played really well actor in that episode of That's My Mama. That is my favorite part, and that is why Patrick Mahomes is almost perfect.
Nico, what do you see when you watch him play? You played, obviously, with one of the greatest of all time, and you've seen so many. What are you seeing as you watch Patrick Mahomes?
We going to Coming America again? He good. He real good. I mean, come on now.
I love it.
I mean, yeah. That boy good. He's real good. You know, like, he is good. Like, and he's not just good. I mean, we know Patrick Mahomes is great. And when we watch him and the things that he's able to do, you watch last year's Super Bowl and the comebacks in the playoffs, he has that little thing that you can't really teach that. Like, he's got it. And that factor comes in these games that when you're down, you're not really out. And Patrick Mahomes, the things that he's been able to do since he came into the NFL, just like RC says, he is an all-time great now. If he doesn't play again, he is an all-time great. And his career, at this point, he's going to continue to improve and get better, and he's going to change as he gets older, and it's going to be great to watch. I mean, it's awesome for football. It's awesome for the game. But, I mean, look, the kid's great, and he's young. He's got a long way to go. So I can't wait to see his progress.
In theory, he should be getting better. Graziano, it's an interesting question. If he were to, and no one is suggesting that this is on the table, but if he were to, as RC just said, announce his retirement after winning this Super Bowl on Sunday, it's probably the three greatest, well, not probably, it would be the three greatest seasons any quarterback has ever had. Would he make it into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's hard to forecast that because the Pro Football Hall of Fame selection process is a kind of a mess. And there's always a conversation, and sometimes when you don't even think there should be one. I think I'm like Rob. I can't wait to watch the rest of this guy's career. But, I mean, to be an all-time great, you have to endure, right? You have to do it over a period of time. What he's doing is all-time great stuff. And he's certainly... he's doing more at this age than other guys who won early, right? Than Brady, than Russell Wilson, guys who had teams around them that could, you know, could sort of carry them while they were young players developing into a time when they would be the man who could put the team on their back and take them there. He's already that. So he's set up to be in this conversation. And I think it's wonderful to watch, and I hope he gets there. But, I mean, year 4? Year 3 as a starter? I think we can just enjoy this.
Of course we can.
I'm not a wet blanket. I'm a reasonable person.
We are trying to quantify just what exactly it is that we are seeing, and I don't think it's overstating it to say it's something we've never seen before. Gale Sayers is in the Hall of Fame, the late, great Gale Sayers, whom we just lost. He played 68 games in his NFL career. RC, go.
There's no sticky buns for Dan. That's first and foremost. But I want y'all to think about this. We all know that I would sit here before the show and watch The Last Dance on repeat on my iPad. We know how I feel about Michael Jordan. Patrick Mahomes is both Michael Jordans. And here's the bite. And I'm not talking about the Wizards, Michael Jordan. He doesn't live to me. I'm talking about Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan, right? From the time we saw Michael Jordan, when he averaged 27 points in his rookie year, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, all these folks knew he was the best player in the league. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. From the time we saw him, he was the best player in the league. Here's the difference. And Greeny covered Michael Jordan. When you got to those six finals, right? When you got to those six championships, there was never a time where you were a fan of the Bulls or an enemy of the Bulls or an opponent of the Bulls where you didn't think Michael Jordan was going to show up. You cannot tell me when we watch Patrick Mahomes that there is ever a time where they're down by two scores, where they need a big play late in the game, where we don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to show up. And he's done all of these things in 3 years. He's been the best dude we've ever seen, and he's been the most clutch dude we've ever seen at one time. Right, he didn't have to grow into that. It wasn't, let's win with Adam Vinatieri and let's have a great coach and let's have these defensive stalwarts and Tom, you just do your thing. It was, nah, Pat, we about to roll this football out on the field for you and you go win it. And he's done that. And he's done that at a level like we've never seen, and with style and with grace and with creativity. He is an all-time great. And when he wins this and he can put that other Lombardi trophy on his podium, now he has more hardware to say it. There are dudes who've played two decades, the Breezes and the Rodgers, who I don't think of as highly as I think of this dude. And this Super Bowl will solidify that for me.
He has literally had a QBR of under 50 one game in his entire career, and they won that game by three touchdowns. He has literally never had a bad game. Go ahead, Dan.
I know, and everything you guys are saying is right, and I'm enjoying it as much as you are. I can enjoy it without saying, oh, we got to put him in the greatest of all time conversation, because I want to watch and see that happen. I want to see how he gets past all these other guys on this list. And I would think if I'm on a panel with people who played in the NFL twice as long or more than twice as long as this guy has played in the NFL, there would be at least a little bit of respect for the importance of longevity. Just a little bit.
That's where the respect comes from.
No,
that's where the respect for what he's done come from, because we've done it. And we've seen people try to do it. We've been out there watching, and we ain't never seen anything like this. So, I mean, that's all it comes down to.
We're still having this conversation 5-10 years from now.
Forever.
I can't wait.
It is a reason. Look, Dan's not wrong. Obviously, longevity is a part of it, but I think it is a testament to just how good he is that this is something unlike anything. Like, that, what you're saying would apply in every other case that I've ever seen in my life covering sports. But with this one guy, it might not be hyperbole to say in these 3 years, he has made himself one of the greatest players of all time. All right, take a quick break.
Bringing up Rocky Marciano. We don't need Rocky Marciano in this conversation, Dan.
Joe Louis was 137 years old when they fought.
Tyreek Hill.
Let's talk about Tyreek. He torched the Bucs earlier this season. 200 yards in the first quarter. Should we expect a repeat of that? We're talking about it next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Lift every voice.
In the 1966 national championship game, Texas Western coach Don Haskins made history by fielding an all-black starting lineup versus an all-white Kentucky team. The Miners lineup led Texas Western to a national title, beating the Adolph Rupp coach team 72-65. That game inspired Southern college teams to recruit more black players.
Tomorrow, this is a big one in the Big Ten. Number 7, Ohio State has won 3 straight, 6 out of 7. Luka Garza and number 8, Iowa, has lost 2 in a row. They go head-to-head tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back To our studio at the Seaport, I am Greeny. This is Get Up, and we're with you commercial-free for the next 14 minutes. We will be busy here, and then First Take will take over at the top of the hour. Stephen A. and Max and Molly. Is the Nets team, we saw last night, good enough to win the title? They'll talk about that. Plus, you'll be calling the Bucks the favorite in the Super Bowl. They've got all of that on their way, but we'll be with you commercial-free until then for the next 13 minutes. And we pick it up with this. Tad Prescott is Dak's brother. And yesterday, he was watching our show, and he tweeted the following. I heard Dan Graziano say on Get Up that Dak could have taken a Goff or Wentz-like contract last year. Those two both were offered four-year extensions. Dak was being offered five. So Graziano responded. He wrote, right, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, wasn't presented as one. Those deals were done after year three with two left. My comment was in response to someone else's comment about money specifically. We understand the issue is about contract length. I appreciate you watching. To which Tad responded, you guys are the only show on TV who gets it right, LOL. So again, we present this to you in part because it is maybe the only reasonable and dignified conversation that we've seen on that social medium, maybe in my entire life. I've never seen two people go back and forth in as civil a way as the two of you did there. And Dan, that is the point here, right? That he was trying to make sure people recognize.
It can be done.
The Dak side of this
can be done.
Is that it's not about money, right? I mean, for all the people who will say, yes, why don't they just give him his money? Dak wants you to know it's not the money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, NFL contract structures are very, very complicated. When Wentz and Goff did their deals, they each had 2 years left on the deals. They did extensions that allowed their teams to do kind of what Dallas wants to do, right? Extend it out, defray the cap hit. Wentz's contract is all kinds of structured with roster bonuses that pay at different times during the deal and all that. Dak has made it clear he wants the shorter contract. It's about the guarantee up for how much money you're going to make in the first 2 years, how much money you're going to make in the first 3 years. He's completely within his rights to demand this, and he's in a position of leverage that those guys never reached because he's in his free agency year. He's in his second franchise tag year. So he's exercising that. It's a two-way street. You need both sides to make a deal. They've staked out their position. He's staked out his, and so far they haven't been able to meet in the middle. I think at some point they will, but guys, I was saying that last year and frankly the year before, and right, here we still are.
He also has leverage because at this point it's no longer arguable. He's just been better than Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. And he's just been a better player. That's been a debate here on the show for a long time. There's no longer any room for debate. Now, at the beginning of this hour, Neek, I asked you, and again, those of you who watch the show, you know, Neek is sort of the representative and spokesperson for Dak here. I asked you, will Dak play zero more years, one more year, or more than that in Dallas? And you said more than that. So you are confident that one way or another they will get a long-term deal done.
Yeah, I mean, I base it off of Dak's behavior and the things that he's done publicly. Like, he's never done anything that, with exception of not signing the deal that they gave to him, he's never done anything to suggest that he wants out of there. And I do think that I've become the Dak Prescott kind of representative on this show, not because I love Dak all that much more than anybody else, although I probably do, but it's because I have two functioning eyeballs. And back in the day, when people were watching games, they're like, oh, Dak is being carried. You watch those games, that was not true. And now we've all finally had it exposed to us, and it kind of feels like an insult to now compare Dak or have him in the same conversation as Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. Like, they're not even in the same league as far as production is concerned and as far as carrying the weight of a particular offense. So I think that Dak does stay there in part because I don't see him as the type of guy that forces his way out.
Right. Those two guys, again, they were drafted in the same draft, so that's part of the reason for the comparison, but one of them has been benched and the other one has been traded away. Rob Ninkovich, as you watch this thing play out, how do you see it? It doesn't usually happen this way with quarterbacks. Why is it happening with Dak, and what's going to happen here?
I think it's going to work out. I think they'll get a deal done. And usually this does not happen when an injury happens and a guy is gone for the season. It doesn't help their status. But in this particular case, when Dak went out with his injury, the Cowboys literally fell off a cliff and the backup came in. And you saw the difference. You saw the difference what the Cowboys were with and without Dak. So if you're ownership, you're up in the top in your box and you're looking over your team and you're saying, look, how close are we? You lose your starting quarterback and you completely lose everything that you have in that particular season. So they realize how important it is. And then on the flip side of that, Dak having an injury, he's realizing, look, I'm only one injury away from not having the stability and the contract in place to help me and support me throughout the rest of my life. So for him, he's looking at it, look, let me go get paid. Let me get my guaranteed money because this isn't going to last forever. And Dallas on the other side of that, it's like, look, we need that guy on our team to be better, to be competitive and to win the division.
Right, I get it. That the worst fear of any football player is having the kind of injury we have to pixelate on the screen to show it again. But having said that, Dominique, Kirk Cousins, I keep going back to this. Right. Kirk Cousins has made more money than any player in football over the last 5 years, and he's not nearly as good as Dak Prescott is. So this path has been proven to work, and even the injury isn't keeping him from getting it. So this is not working out badly for Dak. I think playing it out this way might actually wind up making him the most money.
Oh, yeah, I think it definitely would make him the most money because it will end with him, or it'll start with him getting a second franchise tag, which gets close to $40 million this year, and then he'll have free agency. And then you just have all the teams who think they are quarterback away throwing everything they possibly can at you, and he can go to the highest bidder or go to the best situation. That might end up being perfect. I think free agency is something that all players dream about getting to, and quarterbacks so rarely get there. And Kirk Cousins is a perfect example because he hit free agency, he got the double franchise tag, and he at that time, he wasn't as coveted as I think Dak Prescott would be after this coming season.
Oh, not even close. And he still has the enormous money to show for it. Okay, now let us turn our attention to the Super Bowl because there are prop bets to be keeping a very close eye on, and we are keeping an eye on them. So let's do a little more or less here. And Ryan Clark, I'm starting with you. Over under 2.5 touchdown passes for Tom Brady. Which way are you going?
I'm going to go under. Listen, I think Tom Brady understands making the right decisions. And if you watch the Kansas City Chiefs last week, they were good in the red zone. Tom Brady's going to know to run the ball when he gets down there. And I don't think they'll allow the big pass over the top that we've seen from other teams in the playoffs or that we've seen from other teams throughout this season. So when I look at this game, Tom Brady goes under.
Okay, Ninkovich, 2.5 sacks taken for Patrick Mahomes. Over under.
I'm going under, and I know I talked about JPP. He might have two in this game. But look, if you're Kansas City and you have your backup tackles out there, what is your point of emphasis? These last 2 weeks, they're talking about we got to protect the quarterback. We got to get the ball out of his hands. We got to let our playmakers make plays. So I think with that being the case, they protect Mahomes.
Okay, and then let's get to one of those playmakers. Neek, 99.5 receiving yards for Tyreek Hill. Over, under.
I think you go under, and it's all because of that game that they had earlier in this season. They learned their lesson. Tyreek Hill is not going to be floating out there alone. They're going to make you go somewhere else. Travis Kelce's going to have to break you, maybe Mecole Hardman, or they're going to have to run the ball. But I don't see them allowing or even giving the opportunity to Tyreek Hill to do something like he did last time they played.
Well, and to the point, last time they played, he doubled that number in the first quarter. That was week 12. Again, he went over 200 receiving yards in the first quarter of that game, and you see the numbers he put up, setting career highs in basically everything. And so Carlton Davis was the unfortunate defensive back who had the responsibility of guarding him that day. Here's what he says now.
I'm going to bring the same mentality. You know, I'm going to always be myself. And it didn't work out the first game as far as what we did and our game plan, but we've corrected it. And we got a great game plan going in, but I'm going in with the same mentality, and that's to dominate. So just look out Sunday.
Now, let me bring my corner in here. Dominique, I think a lot of us will hear that and hear him say, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going in there with the same mentality. What do you think?
Nah, I mean, he should go in the same mentality. That's what it requires to be a corner. We all get cooked every now and then, so it's fine. I don't begrudge Carlton Davis for that showing, but I think that he learned a lesson. And that team learned a lesson. Don't ever leave me alone with that man again because he is a walking problem. And so there's going to be limits to what they can do defensively because they damn well better roll a safety over there. And again, it's no disrespect to Carlton Davis because any corner, I don't think there is a corner in the league that can shut Tyreek Hill down all game one-on-one. Being a corner is hard and it's unfair because you can have 10 perfect snaps and cause incompletions. All you got to do is have one mishap and give up six and people think you're terrible. And when Tyreek Hill is as quick and fast and as good in the air at tracking the ball as anybody, and you combine that with a quarterback we just spent the segment talking about is the greatest we've ever seen, that is an impossible job for Carlton Davis all game by himself. Yeah. So I don't know Winfield's plan. I don't know whose safeties are in there, but you find Tyreek and you go there every snap.
RC, quickly, again, you're a safety. So tell me, what's this? Give me the 30-second game plan going into this game dealing with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. So the bicycle that Nico had and that Sean McVay had to have, that bicycle is now being ridden by Carlton Davis. And if I'm Todd Bowles and if I'm this defense, I make sure we double Tyreek Hill in any opportunity that we have. I make sure they understand that a safety will be shaded to his side. And you hope that Patrick Mahomes comes off of Tyreek Hill very early in the progression. You have to do everything you can to not let Tyreek Hill start the game the way he did by pushing the coverage or by taking the top off of the coverage. And I think Todd Bowles understands that. You know you can get a four-man rush because of the tackles, injuries, and who you have up front. You don't have to expose yourself. Give Carlton Davis help. Allow him to settle in first, and then you can be a little creative with your calls.
But, Ninko, I mean, I'm thinking just you're sort of picking your poison here, right? Does that mean Travis Kelce is going to kill you?
Well, look, if you look at the stat line of Tyreek Hill, if he has anything close to what he did in their last matchup, they're not going to win this football game. So what do you have to do? Everybody else has to do better. And if you double Tyreek, then somebody's got to go on Travis Kelce. They got to cover him. That's your job. You got to cover this guy. And yes, he's very good. But if you are a defensive lineman, defensive end, and you see Kelce or Hill in front of you, and you do not hit those guys to affect their release, you are doing something wrong. They can't just release off the line and run in their route and get in their route comfortably without having any harassment. If you're within 5 yards, beat them up. Make them earn it. You can't just let them run down the field. That's when they kill you.
Graziano, quick thought.
When you talk to opposing coaches, opposing defensive coordinators who are about to play the Chiefs, they all bring up Tyreek Hill first. A couple years ago, I remember talking to Anthony Lynn when he was with the Chargers, and he said something about, we just got to make sure we don't let that creature destroy the game for us. And that's who he was talking about. He is a fixation for opposing coaches because they know he has the ability to destroy the game. And the Buccaneers obviously saw it up close the first time.
All right, one more thing before we run, because we've been called out today. Actually, Dominique, you've been called out today. I turn your attention to Twitter. Desmond Howard tweeted, will someone tell Dominique Foxworth that today is Culture Wednesday, not Thesaurus Thursday, over there on Get Up using words like deleterious and stuff? Dominique, what do you have to say for yourself?
I have something to say to Desmond. You better dig deeper into the culture because words like deleterious are in there. Mellifluous also. Adroit came out today. I'm hitting people vocabulary words. It's not my fault that so many people need to read more. That ain't on me.
RC, what do you think?
Crack a book.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I actually saw Desmond last week, man, and it was kind of just happened, and I was so happy to see him, and that's the power of Culture Wednesday. And Culture Wednesday can evolve. It means so many different things, and today it was about learning. Today it was about educating folks, and that's what my dog Dom did. Now people know that the culture is not only about pop culture references and rap references, but we will learn you, just like my grandma Mama Alice used to say. We gonna learn you something today, and that's what my dog Dom did.
And sickle cell trait. We talk about sickle cell trait too, everything.
We are out of time for this Culture Wednesday. Thanks so much for getting up with us.
You're welcome,
we'll see
America.
You tomorrow. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.